How is this different from 92-93?
Oh, I think it's demonstrably different because of the way that Alex put the team together at the end of July. I mean, I think all of a sudden it spiked up. You know, people weren't counting on watching this the way they have and the way that he put these players together. 92-93, you got to remember, we were a pretty good team from
for
basically 83, 84, 85.
Yep.
You know, we got to 87, 89. There was that frustration. Then in 90, you know, 91, we played Minnesota. And then 92-93, we won. And, you know, I think that there was an expectation we were a pretty good team. But, you know, at the same point in time, you know, they wanted to see us prove it. And this one, when he put the team together, you know, it all of a sudden exploded. And then we started to win, too. When Tulowitzki came in, we started to win. You know, like, when's this all going to end? You know, and so we have a little good run. And then we have, you know, a loss, and we run it again. And all of a sudden, you take an eight-game deficit to a five-game deficit. Then it becomes a three-game deficit. Then it becomes, you know, we got, hey, man, if everything goes well, you know, we're a game and a half behind the Yankees. Now, all of a sudden, we're a half a game behind the Yankees. Now, we're ahead of the Yankees. And you know what? I think everybody, you know, really wanted to celebrate it. And, you know, the team bought into it. Because the one thing that, you know, we think we all have read about or seen or talked to, and I know that you talk to a lot of guys. I know Jeff talks to a lot of guys. I mean, the players bought into it. They bought into the fans coming out. They bought into the excitement, you know. And they performed. And you know what? They were recognized for their performance. And, you know, I think it all became kind of a happening where everybody's in it together.
You know, the other thing, too, people like Buck Martinez, Paul, who were here in 92, 93, they say that the crowds are different here. The crowds are younger, noisier. Maybe alcohol sales are doing much, much better.
Well, I've said it too, no. Jeff.
I mean this as a positive. You know, you.
But there are more baseball. There are more baseball fans here now.
I think you're probably right.
Back then, this was the place to go, the place to be. The dorm opened in '89. The team was already good. I used to do my shows, Beast and Nose, out at Sightlines for years, and I was in amongst those 500 people. Half of them never even watched the ball game. They were here, but they were here because it was a happening and it was the place to go. I think you got baseball fans in this ballpark now, Paul. I think that's where you're going with this, aren't you?
Well, and not only that, but, you know, like I'm noticing, I'm used to Blue Jays fans standing up. We're all used to them standing up for the third out of the ninth inning. David Price, they're standing up for the third out of the first inning or the third strike, you know, the two-strike pitch to the second out. To the second batter of the first inning.
Yeah, they're into it from day one.
It's incredible, and I think that you guys have hit on it. But, you know, it is not alcohol-induced compared to what it was back then because, quite frankly, we were selling more beer per cap than we are today. So it's not alcohol-induced. No, it's absolutely true. You know, and I think part, which I think is a good thing.
Part of it, quite frankly.
But, I mean, I noticed it last year, and to a certain degree the year before that, you didn't have to go to a research company to come in and say, let's take a survey of who's here. All you had to do was go down into the concourse, walk the concourse, and see the ages of the people that are coming to the games.
Sure.
I mean, and we're not talking about kids 18 and under and then adults that are 50 and over. All of a sudden, it's a young group of people. Part of it, I think, has got to do with the fact that we are downtown and we're in an area where people can use it. I think the other part of it's got to do with the fact that we stream our games. And so, you know, the people are getting used to watching it on their phone or their iPad or using the desktop. And so, you know, you've got different ways of getting the game. And I think some of it's just general frustration, you know, and all of a sudden there can be a celebration. But that doesn't take away from the fact that last year, you know, we do the 2.5 million people, and the year before that, approximately 2.5 million people. There seem to be, and it's what you're talking about, there seem to be a younger group of people that actually are playing the game, know the game, and know when to cheer. I mean, this is not a group of people that are just there because, you know, they want to watch it. They're there or watch it because it's a place to be seen. They're there because they like the game of baseball.
And, you know, J.P. Arencibia is now back in the game. And I thought about this the other day. When you took the step of bringing back the Maple Leaf, bringing back the old style, older style jersey, different color, sort of similar numbers, and you also had Brett Laurie and J.P. Arencibia, I remember that year. There was a churn there. People started buying your merchandise a lot more than they had in the past. And you had players who were active in social media. And I'm not saying that they're the reason we are where we are now, but you can go back to that year with the new uniforms and everything. I think that's when it started.
Jeff, it's all part of it. There's not even a question about it. You know, and there was this other thing that has happened in all of, you know, all sports right now where people get dressed up in the uniform of the team. I mean, it's not just here. I mean, you can go to the Leafs and they'll wear the Leaf jerseys. You can go to the Houston Astros and they've got, you know, the Houston or the Cubs or something like that. But I think that's also part of it. But I also think that, you know, people just younger, I mean, are enjoying the game for what it is and that there is no time clock and that there is an excitement and there are young players. And there are players that are embracing it. I mean, where could anyone buy the enthusiasm and the love that Stroman is showing to the people of Toronto? I mean, like it just doesn't happen. Yeah. I saw someone wrote today about this as a pinball effect. Well, there isn't a pinball effect. I mean, he loves the city. He loves the fans. He loves the interaction. He appreciates the support that they're giving him. And so all of this thing, I mean, it's reciprocal. You know, these players are liking what they're getting from the fans, and it's going across the country. What shouldn't be lost on people is, you know, the stuff that Robbie Alomar has done with all of his clinics across the country, yep. The caravan going east and west, the team we have in Vancouver. You know, like, we've embraced it, and we put the Maple Leaf on there because we are Canada.
Playing in Montreal.
Not even a question.
French language broadcast in Montreal.
Think about that, Jeff, because next year, what are we going to have? We're going to play the Red Sox. You know, we've had 96,000 people. Next year, we probably have 110,000 people, but they're there and they're enjoying the game. This isn't just people that are there just showing up. You know, the tickets are given away. These are highly priced tickets that people are coming, and they've had the advantage of actually having some pretty good games when we've been there. So, I mean, the whole thing has worked out very, very well.
With Paul Beeston, the president and CEO of the Toronto Blue Jays. If I was going to ask you, and we've known each other nearly 40 years, but if I was going to ask you 20 years ago, when you go out, Beeston, your last season, how do you want to go out? So far, knock on wood, this would pretty much be it, wouldn't it?
You couldn't beat this, I'm telling you, no matter how it plays itself out. I mean, it's been fun. The place is full. You know, there's an excitement not only in the city, but indeed the province and the country. And, you know, the team is winning, and we've got a good group of guys. So, you know, you can't beat going out under these terms. I mean, I got the most fortunate guy in the world. And if it hadn't been for what Alex did that last week, I'm not 100% certain it would have happened. But, you know, bringing in Troy and then bringing in David Price and then bringing in Revere, bringing in Lowe, you know, getting the rest of the pieces together and the rest of the players playing. I mean, you can't beat it. So hopefully that we're going to put ourselves in a position where we're playing deep in October.
Well, let me ask you about that. How involved in that were you? I mean, were you were obviously consulted, but were you at any point asked, do we go down this road?
Oh, yeah, sure, you can go down the road. I was asked. I mean, you know, we've got to make sure everything works. But, I mean, basically played the role of a cheerleader. I mean, this was the, you know, Alex, I bet you can't do it. You know, like, I mean, let's say, I bet you can't do it. You can get Tulowitzki? I don't think so. You know, you can get David Price? I don't think so. You know, you get him, see what we can do. So from the role, I mean, you know, obviously I was involved in it, but not involved in it the way that he did. This was relentless. The man never slept. The man was focused, and he did what was necessary to put that team together and to show the players. I mean, because we talk about the media, we talk about the fans, we talk about the owners, we talk about everyone else. There's 25 guys he represents. Those 25 guys are on the field, and they're the engine that drives this entire organization. They drive the scouting, they drive the development, they drive everything that we do here. And those 25 guys want to see some type of action, so they give them a chance to win, because if you're going to keep them here and you're going to draw people in, to me, you know, you have to show them that you care. He didn't show them that he cared a little bit. I mean, in bridge terms, he showed them in spades. I mean, he did the right thing.
Is there any doubt in your mind that Alex Anthopoulos will stay as general manager?
Oh, no, he'll stick around. I mean, why wouldn't you stick around?
Has he got a new contract?
I don't think we talk about that in public, do we? I'm not so sure this is Alex.
Well, how about just the
this
two
is of Alex? This
well,
is Alex.
Three of us.
This
I mean, how do you want me to leave?
This is one of those ones where I think his absolute response to that is the right one, which is you are focused on what is happening right now. This isn't about him. I mean, he's done a terrific job. He's been 6 years in the job. He's just getting into his veteran part right now. I mean, I can't think of any reason why he wouldn't be here.
So no surprise announcement in these next 3 days? No surprise news conference that Alex has signed an extension?
No, I wouldn't think that would be a surprise. I mean, you know, why would we be surprised right now when we've got what we've got on the field? I mean, let's be realistic about it. I mean, you know, from the point of view, Alex is Canadian. Alex lives in Toronto. His family's in Toronto. His in-laws are in Toronto. Everything is going in the right direction. And to me, you know what? We are focused on one thing, which is winning. And that's tough enough, because the one thing I've tried to teach him over my years, you know, that I've been in this thing, it doesn't matter who you're playing. The month of September is hard to win games. The month of September, no matter who you're playing, what you're doing, it's hard to win games. And so you kind of look at what's happening, and that's what we're focused on.
You've always had a role in the acquisition of players. You did with Pat for many years. And you would probably minimize what your role was. And if you talked to Pat, Pat would maximize it. And, I mean, there were deals that were done because Paul and Pat went and sat in somebody's living room and chatted with them. And it was, and knowing the two of you, I know who did most of the talking. It wasn't Gillick. So let me ask you this. Are you engaged in, I mean, I know this is your last year, but I also know you, that you feel a responsibility and a love affair with this team, that, you know, you're one of the guys who gave birth to this franchise. Have you been engaged in who are we going to keep? How are we going to keep them?
Yeah.
We want Price to stay. Let's talk about an extension, and can you do it now? And you've got a bunch. You've got, 12 guys that you could theoretically lose because they're not under contract. How involved have you been in that process?
Well, those discussions happen all the time, Bob. I mean, but, you know, let's be honest about it right now. The last thing you're going to do is negotiate a contract with anybody until it's end of the season. It doesn't make any sense at
the
present
that.
Time. Okay? Doesn't mean there's not conversations that go on and, you know, who you want to keep and what you have. I mean, look at the team. I mean, there is a real core of players here. You've got catchers covered. Your first base was covered. You know, maybe you get Travis back next year. You got shortstop covered for 5 more years. Third baseman. Donaldson's for and the outfield is covered. So we're there. It's the pitching, but, you know, this has got a chance of being something sustainable, you know, and so you kind of look at it and say, how do we do it? So, I mean, those discussions go on all the time.
Do you engage in discussions with Rogers with regard to budget when you get to a situation like this? Because we often talk about, well, if you want to keep David Price, but that's going to cost this much, and maybe you take, maybe Burley doesn't come back, he retires, he wants to go someplace else, that takes $20 million off the payroll, and we assume Dickey would be re-up, but we don't know that exactly. But there could be monetary issues, and guys want to get paid more money. Do those conversations go on?
Sure they do. I mean, you have to do it. I mean, you know, like, it's no different than it was before. You know, when we're dealing with Labatt, you operate on a no-surprise basis. I mean, you know, they know that a guy like Josh Donaldson, who is under arbitration, you know, is going to make a lot more money than he's making right now.
Of course.
They know that David Price is going to be a free agent, so he's going to make X number of dollars for X number of years. They know that all the players that are either arbitration eligible or are free agents are going to get, you know, some type of a bump for the years that they've had. I mean, are we not really cheering for these guys to have a great next 10 days and play in October and back up the truck, you know, and, you know, then you have to make your decision. But, you know, we're cheering for them to make it difficult.
Do you think winning makes it easier for you to have a conversation with Guy Lawrence, the CEO of Rogers?
I sure do. I mean, why wouldn't it? I mean, you know, you look at it, what's happened right now. You have a look at what has happened in the last, let's say, 7 weeks, 6 weeks, 7 weeks, whatever you want to go back to the beginning of August, and you look at what has happened here, look what happened with the ratings, look what happened with people feeling good. Yeah. And look, let's not minimize the fact that, you know, we live in a community that for one time is coming together. It doesn't matter where your lot in life is, that, you know, you have all of a sudden said, look, we've got something in common. It's not unique to just Toronto. It's unique to any city that, you know, once in a while comes along. Look at Kansas City last year. I mean, think about it. Kansas City wasn't around. Then all of a sudden, you know, it was the place to be if you were in Kansas City because you wanted to cheer on those Royals. And so from my point of view, you've got the social part of it. You've got the corporate part of it. You've got the, you know, the fun part. But, you know, ultimately it gets down to the winning. So, yeah, it makes it a lot easier to talk.
And Paul, I mean, you know as well as anybody, and I know this from doing my book and researching my book, one of the reasons Rogers bought this team is they wanted to kind of personalize the company a little bit, give people something else to think about Rogers besides cell phones.
That's all part of it.
And cablevision.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully something good. Hopefully something that you can get behind and be uplifting.
Jeff, that's part of it. But, you know, one of the things when Ted Rogers bought it, you know, he wanted to make sure that the team didn't move. There was a suggestion, you know, we have a new stadium, you know, that we've got corporate ownership from Interbrew, you know, in Belgium that doesn't like baseball, so let's buy it, let's keep it here, you know. And finally, unfortunately, he's not around to see the rewards of what, you know, that, you know, vision had about what it could be. And, you know, I, for one, am, you know, absolutely thrilled for, you know, what it's done for the community, for the fans, for everybody in it. But, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, it's the smiles that you're putting on people's faces, the frowns, the living with it. No other sport has what baseball has because it is a circus in this month. I mean, you know, you are playing every single day. You know, notwithstanding the fact we didn't play yesterday, you were playing, you know.
You miss it when you're not playing.
You miss it, exactly right. What are we going to do tonight? Like, what are we going to watch? What are we going to listen to? What are we going to do?
We all went through it last night.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So you start tonight, and we play right through till Sunday. Okay, we've got 10 games left in 10 days. You know, and their games are against Tampa Bay and Baltimore, but every one is important. And, you know, you will take a look at an eye and see how the Yankees are doing. You will see what Minnesota and California are doing. You know, just kind of keep track of it. So, to me, I mean, it's something that's special, you know, that's nice to be part of.
I would imagine, Paul, nobody complains about the stadium right now. In the past couple of weeks, have you heard
got
complaints?
It right on. You have got it right on.
And I think you know where I'm going with this.
I know the stadium works right now. When the stadium is full, the stadium is alive. Russell Martin hits that home run. And in unison, everybody stands up and goes crazy. I mean, like, it is a fun thing.
If it rains this weekend, you got a roof.
We've got a roof. If it gets cold, we've got a roof. You know, you've got the fun downtown. But, you know, the way the communities come together, and I don't mean in just in the sports area, but with all of the bars around here, with the entertainment district, with the restaurants, with everything from, you know, the Air Canada Center to where we are right now, you know, it's kind of a unique piece of real estate in the world for sports. I mean, you've got the two of them going on right side by each, you know, with that open area, and it's fun. It's a fun place.
With Paul Beeston. Give me an update on the natural grass situation.
Well, you know, we'll be getting our report from University of Guelph in October. You know, we funded a University of Guelph to have a look at it, and it's kind of three pieces. So we have the 2015 piece right now that can it be done or it can't be done. To be very frank with you, our biggest concern was not whether it was the irrigation or whether it was the light. It's always this air current, you know. And, you know, you being the golfer, I mean, you know where, you know, you sometimes go in the valleys and they've got those big fans because they got to keep the air moving.
Yeah.
The problem with this place is, you know, it's a bowl and it's got the high walls. And the thing is to get the air there. So we're looking at it. I mean, I'm very excited about it. I mean, I just think that it's going to be the thing that will make this a baseball-only stadium. You can do what you want. You can do what you want with it. You can set it up. But we'll be playing on grass. I think it'll be fun.
You think it's going to happen?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
It's not going to happen next year just because the Argos are leaving. It's not going to happen. I think we've got to do it right. Mm. And there's so much that has to be done because you've got a concrete floor here. You know, so you have to do all that. And you have to make sure that it's going to work because there ain't no going back.
Well, and I was going to say, when that does happen, Paul, are you convinced that this place, this stadium, will be here 15 years down the road?
Yeah, I did 15 years. I would like to.
20 years?
Yeah, I would say this.
That's going to be an old stadium. It's going to be one of the oldest
now.
In baseball.
So it's 26 years old right now, but so is, you know, so is Wrigley.
Sure.
So that what this stadium has is location, okay? It has location. It is downtown. And what they've done with Queens Quay, what they've done here, what they've done with the aquarium, what they've done with the convention center, everything is downtown. You know, they put the LRT, you know, which is on Queens Quay. I'm going to tell you right now, moving it from downtown, you know, would be something that I would think you might want to even contest because, you know, it is a baseball stadium. And then once you do it, you can look at putting in the necessary dollars to restructure it, fix it up, and, you know, make sure that it's, you know, moving into this century.
But the guts of this place are fine, right?
Yeah.
The guts of it are fine.
The key to it is the roof. I mean, you know it as well as I do. We can say what we want, but, you know, in April, you know, if this game's going to be played in April the 7th to open the season, that's Friday night, you know, and if it's going to be raining, snowing, whatever it is, this game is going to be played. And it's going to be played, you know, sometime in October. If we're playing this, lucky enough to be playing at the end of October, and it is raining and we have bad weather, it is going to be played because of the roof. So that roof has been given, you know, tender loving care for 27 years. The walls are still standing up, and, you know, quite frankly, you know, well, it does need a little bit of amenities. You just said it earlier, you know, when this place is hopping, when we're winning, and this place is electric, you know, you've got your 48,000 people in here that are cheering, what else do we need?
What's next for you?
Well, I will get involved, Bob. I mean, I've sat on a couple corporate boards, and I'm staying in the Baseball Hall of Fame board in Cooperstown, and, you know, I will get involved in volunteer work. I'd, you know, probably back in the mental health area where I was
going to say, you're still in CAM.
I'm not right now, but I would go back there. I mean, that was a terrific period of my life, you know. The one thing about it, which you haven't done it because, you know, you've had some time off, but Jeff has. I mean, I was – retired for 7 years.
Yes,
I've
I
done
know.
This gig. Mm-hmm. I mean,
I know
I'm
when
not
you took up
to,
golf.
I'm
you know, I experienced
well, I took,
all that.
We'll experience it again, okay? That's
oh,
the good part about it. But the reality is, so true. I will get involved. I mean, there's not a question, you know. And I always cheer for the Blue Jays. That won't be an issue. And you know, hopefully that they can continue on and build on what we've got right now, because we've just got an infrastructure that has to be continually built on, and you have to continue to put money into the minor leagues. You have to continue to put money into scouting, and you have to have that feeder system so that you can do. When I always think that Alex did is amazing this year, that has not been either written about enough, is the fact that he was able to make trades in 2013 and really, you know, take a lot of players out of the farm system. 2 years later, he was able to do those trades one more time with new players that came along, or players that have been drafted that have been developed 2 years later, because it wasn't about money. The Tulowitzki deal wasn't about money. It was about players. The Price deal wasn't about money. It was about players. Revere deal wasn't about money. It was about players. You know, not about money, about players. And so he was able to do that. Losing 12 arms, where do you get 12 arms that somebody else wants? I mean, so it's quite a remarkable, it was quite a remarkable achievement, and a lot of credit's got to go to scouting and development, and you got to continue to put it back in there. And this year, you know, going ahead and signing young Vladimir Guerrero, you know, all of those types of things will come back. I mean, Osuna was a guy from Mexico, a young kid, you know, that I remember Mel Didier saying, you know, he will be ready in 2 years' time. Well, he didn't take the full 2 years when he got there. He moved that quickly. The rest of them, look at Syndergaard. Look at all the guys that are contributing.
No,
those
I understand.
Guys that are drafted.
Just slide your microphone up a little bit in front of your face, if you will. Thank you very much.
It's a television, Bob. They want to see the whole face.
You I'm pretty sure they do. You've kept your office here, even when you weren't here. Will you keep it in the future?
The good Lord willing. I mean, it's not the office you worry about. It's the parking. Yeah, I mean, let's get serious.
Somebody, you stopped walking to the ballpark?
I have. Yes, I have. Can't you tell? But, you know, it's always the parking. And I always get an office. But, you know, like from the point of view of, I don't know. I'm not going to worry about that one just yet. But the parking I am worried about.
Have you talked to Shapiro?
Yeah, actually, I had breakfast with him this morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was in town, and I had breakfast with him this morning. I had a good and a long conversation with him.
What kind of stuff do you talk about? I mean, obviously has questions about how you do things. And
yeah, and let's be realistic about it. I mean, he's been in the game a long time. He's
yeah,
been 24
I get it.
Years, so, I mean, there's a lot of things that are common. I mean, like,
of course.
I mean, each club may be 10% different, and let's say 90% is done the same way. But, you know, the infrastructure is the same from a scouting development point of view, how you run a stadium and all that. But, you know, I just gave my observations on, you know, coming into this city with the newspapers the way they are supposed to, maybe just one newspaper, you know, as to what we do television-wise, how we do have a country. But don't get fooled by the fact that, you know, everybody says we got the whole country. You know, we do have 5.5 time zones too. You know, so, you know, we do have French, we do have English. What we try to do with playing away. So I tried to give him a flavor of what it was. We didn't get into any specifics, but we got into, you know, generally, you know, what we're about, why we do what we do, type of people that we have working here, and, you know, how we're trying to directionally go.
The one thing that I have to admit I thought would probably get done before you left was a spring training.
Right.
Facility. How far along is the organization, I guess, in getting that done? And is that something that Mark is going to have to, you know, settle pretty quickly?
Well, I don't know if he's going to settle it very quickly, because you can't settle unless you've got a willing partner on the other side, but he's going to have to get involved in it. But
right.
I'm not going to turn over and say, I don't know what we're going to do. I'm going to say, here's where we were. We were one time going to go to, you know, West Palm and go to Palm Gardens. Mm-hmm. And now we were one time looking at Naples, and we've looked around. We're talking to Dunedin. We know what we need, not what, you know, we're going to demand so
sure.
that we have a Taj Mahal or, you know, we spend extra dollars, but we need to have something that is, you know, a lot better than we have right now. You know, so from that point of view, it could be turning over the file. But, I mean, I would walk in with Mark and I would say to the mayor, I'd like to make Mark Shapiro the new CEO. And, you know, this is the way that we should be transitioning this, mm-hmm. so that, you know, like, it can work. And, you know, we've got people like Matthew Schuber that works with us right now that, you know, is on top of that. And so all of that, I mean, he knows that that's an open file, if you like. And you know what? It'll be an open open file at probably in another 6 months, but hopefully it closed a lot more than that, because you got to have your design, you've got to have your location, then you got to have your financing, then you got to put the whole thing together as to how it would all happen. Say stadium came down, you're going to build a whole new stadium. Mm-hmm. You've been on that property. Where are we going to go? We're going to go to Philadelphia and play at Bright House Park. All those things have to be discussed.
Do you have a location? Is there a location in Dunedin that's suitable?
Yeah, well, the answer is the only way that it works is the areas that we've got right now, you know, and so you have to look at it a little bit differently and say, okay, you're going to have a bifurcated spring training, which is not necessarily a bad thing. If Bobby Maddox was alive right now, he would tell you he wants a separation, okay? Not everybody says it all has to be together. Some people, particularly the old school guys who actually want to teach and do the things that they want the minor leaguers away from and the prospects away from the major league team. It just got so that, you know, a lot of teams started, you know, building these big facilities in Phoenix where they had all kinds of land and all kinds of money. They wanted to attract the teams, and they built what amounted to be, you know, like the elite type of a facility for what amounts to 1 month.
And
I mean, that's it, 1 month. I mean, like, what are we doing? Are the fields good? Do we have the right ability to bring along, you know, 12 pitchers at a time, like for putting them in the bullpen? You know, do you have the right number of batting tunnels in case it rains and all that? Because ultimately what really matters is what the facilities are like.
Spring training's become a revenue generator in the game now.
Right.
What are some of the other, you know, I know you probably have a laundry list here, but what are some of the other changes that you've seen in your time, you know, since coming back to be president of the Blue Jays that are different than your first time here?
Well, I think the biggest thing is just the whole new media, if you like, from a revenue point of view. Let's look at there, because it's still basically, you know, at one time it was 90% ticket revenue, okay? Ticket revenue is maybe 50% right now, so you've got television, but it's not just the television. It's, you know, it's the streaming that you're doing. It's the social media, and I think we always have to worry about that, you know, that it's done responsibly and we do the things that are proper to get our message out, but not the point of time of hurting it. I think those two things are there. I think the fact that we actually now get most of our information out instantaneously. And, you know, so it's not like, let's hit the 5 o'clock press conference so that we can make the 6 o'clock news and we can do things, you know, in the morning. It's all there. I mean, it is there. The box scores are there and everything else. But anybody that does anything wrong, that is magnified. I've watched that. I've watched the way that the game has grown in terms of salaries, but I don't think that happens. But there was a time, and I remember when I got in this business, and Bob Housum said, back in 1977, and he was president of the Cincinnati Royals, you know, he said that, you know, it used to be more of a sport than is a business. Now it's more of a business than a sport. But right now it's really that way. And the risks are a lot higher, Jeff. I mean, your question is a very good question. But, you know, you're signing long-term contracts for multi-million dollars. You know, money that, you know, CEOs don't get in big businesses right now. And, you know, so I've watched them. I've also watched the players. Players, you know, their bodies are now, for all practical purposes, become a building. You know, they take care of themselves 12 months of the year.
Yeah.
You know, and so you watch that. But it's the communication, number one. The revenue as to where it's going, and, you know, baseball's done a pretty good job with their advanced media in that way, the direction that it's going. And then, you know, the one thing that hasn't changed, though, we're still 3 strikes, we're 4 balls, we're 9 innings, there's no time clock. You know, like, the game is played on the field. And, you know, there's that excitement, and that thing can't change.
You have had a policy of not wanting to sign players from outside the organization to contracts longer than for 5 years, specifically pitchers, but generally speaking, all players. Is David Price the exception to the rule?
Well, let me put it this way. I'm gone.
If you that's were here.
I'm a fan. I'd like to see David Price here.
So you don't care how long he signs
for. I've stayed to my principles.
If you were here.
If you were going to be back.
I don't. I look, I mean, times change.
Maybe.
Look, I was at 3 before.
You got a wasp on your
I was. That's perfect. This
shirt
this
there.
Is
there you go.
I don't know where that came from. But you know, I was at 3. I mean, if you recall, we were at 3. Then we moved to 5. I mean, I think you have to move with the time. Let's be realistic about it. I mean, you just can't say that's you know, what it's going to be.
Etched in stone forever and ever, amen.
Yeah, I mean, because if you do, you know, you'll never be
able to. You lose too many players.
You'll lose players, but you'll never be able to, you'll never be able to look yourself in the mirror and say, you know, that's it. So you have to look at it. But I don't mind the five-year rule. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. I mean, I haven't seen anything that would change me with that. But, I mean, a guy like David Price, I mean, or whoever it might be, I mean, you have to, of course.
But the reason I ask, Paul, is sure. Because the guy's been here and he's been damn near perfect.
No question.
And he's beloved by the people. And he seems to be enjoying his time here. You've probably talked to him on at least a few occasions. Just wonder whether that's the kind of guy who said, where you go, you know, for somebody like that, you know, he's not a guy over there that I don't know that well. Is a guy who now I've been around for the last 2 months.
But here's the issue. And I don't have a problem with it because, you know, not that I wouldn't want that decision, but you know what? I mean, because I wouldn't walk away from making the decision if that was the case, because you have to look at it, all the facts. When you make that decision, which is probably a very easy decision to make for David Price, you've now making that decision for everybody, because you won't be able to look at anybody and say, we want to be 5 years. It's kind of like the no trade policy. You know?
But you can always say no.
You can say no, but if it's a policy you might not want to say, you might not want to say no at all points. So when you break it, you break it. You know, so the policy is the policy, or it's broken, and then all of a sudden, you know, you live with it. So I understand your issue. I understand, you know, where it's
coming from. Just wondering whether you think that's the kind of guy. You're just waiting for, like,
who cannot want this guy?
I think that's the point.
And he's ours, so it's not tampering at the present time.
I know, just a few minutes left. I did want to ask you, Rob Manfred has met the new commissioner, first-year commissioner, has met with Pete Rose. I mean, we know Major League Baseball sent out that press release. He's going to come to a decision on Pete Rose by the end of the year. You worked with Bud. You've seen this guy. How different is Rob Manfred from Bud? And do you think Rob Manfred's the type of guy that might welcome Pete Rose back into the fraternity?
I don't know what Rob is going to do, Jeff, and I'm not equivocating. I'm not. I don't
know.
But I will say this. You know, Rob is his own man. Rob is not Bud. Rob has restructured. Rob is doing the things that he's doing. Bud had a lot of positive attributes. Rob's got a lot of positive attributes. But it's a fresh set of eyes. Mm-hmm. It's a fresh set of ears. And, you know, we'll see where that goes. But make no mistake about the fact that Rob Manfred is his own man, and he will make up that decision. And it will be a considered decision, and it will be a decision. If he says what it's going to be, it will be factual. He says, this is why I made this decision. He will not, you know, equivocate and say, here's the decision, I'm not telling you what, I'm telling you why. He will say why, and it will be one that you'll look back in and say, you know, I might not agree with him, but I understand why he took this position. That might be letting back in, not letting back in. You know, we're going to look at it in 5 years. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what Rob is going to do with this.
If you were commissioner, what would your opinion of Rose be?
Well, I will say one thing for you, one thing right now, Bob. I never looked at the file, and it was Bud's, and, you know, so I didn't have to make that decision. So I think you'd have to really get into it. And, you know, when Bart Giamatti, you know, made his decision, you know, it was based on a certain set of facts. You know, Bud has made his to keep it where it is on a certain set of facts. And so someone else looked at it. So I don't know what I would say.
Yeah, but the facts are not disputable, really.
I mean, you don't know they are.
Essentially,
you don't know that.
Acknowledged, you know, what he's done. You know, it took a long time, and he lied about it more than once. But,
yeah.
I mean, I guess the question becomes, you know, is baseball willing to forgive and forget? I mean,
there's
no doubt this is one of the great players on the field that we've ever seen.
No question. And the way that he played the game, there's absolutely, I don't think anyone disputes that one. I mean, but how much information they have and what went on. And, you know, let me tell you, I'm just going back to what I said about Rob. That's what he will do. And he will look at it. And he will not be one of those guys that just says, I've made up my mind. He will do this thing openly, honestly, and my suspicion, with a very good talk with Pete Rose himself. And then he'll come up with whatever that decision might be. But what it is, I wouldn't presuppose, nor do I think anybody should, until Rob makes it, and I don't think we should put him in a position by saying this is what I think.
Your contract ends 31st of October?
31st of October, 35 days away.
Not that he's counting, though.
Are you starting to look around and think, well, I don't know, I've got 35 days in this office as the CEO of this ball club, and then that's the end of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you went through it once before.
Right.
But this is really probably.
Look, I mean, it's like Howie said, you know, the best before date's over. I'm 70 years old right now. I've still got energy. I still want to do some things. I like the travel. I like everything else. I consider myself, and this is not trying to be kind of modeling or anything like that, I consider myself fortunate to come back for these 6 years. I've had a lot of fun. I've worked with some terrific young people. The one thing I'm going to miss is not the players. Not that I won't miss them, but I'm going to miss the people that I work with. I mean, they're young, they're fun, and, you know, I like coming to work. That part I'm going to miss, but, you know, I checked the birth certificate. There's no expiry date on it, you know, so hopefully I'm still going to be around, you know, and, you know, as you know, I'm a career Blue Jay. I mean, my services are not for sale to go against the Blue Jays. My services are not for sale. I like Blue Jays. I like the Canada. I like the fact that what we're doing in Montreal and the players that we're developing and, the, you know, the Canadians that are playing at such a high level in Major League Baseball right now, I think is terrific. And, you know, I don't care who hit the home run the other night. But, you know, it's special when it's Russell Martin when he hit that home run, you know, like it was, you know, he's got that, you know, the Maple Leaf on the Blue Jay logo, but, you know, that he's actually Canadian. So it's fun.
Has the phone rung? Have you been offered a job with anybody else? Or anybody sniffed around and said, hey, you're interested in sticking around the game?
You'll be the first one to know. No, I don't.
Well, you told me I was going to be the first. Actually, I think Perkins will be the first one to know.
Well, Perkins got no form anymore. You know, that's it. Let's see. I will tell him on a Saturday morning. So if Bob brings back Friday, I say, Perkins, don't do it.
Would you listen if the phone rang?
For in baseball?
Yeah.
Never.
Not interested.
Not interested. No, I'm a Blue Jay. I like it. I have had an unbelievably good fortune of having a great life. I mean, and I like it.
Yes,
and I
understand.
Like the Blue Jays. No, I couldn't listen to anybody else when it comes to baseball here. I mean, if Rob Manfred asked me to do something that was, you know, for baseball, that I would do. You know, that I would do. In fact, I didn't vote for him. I don't think he's going to ask me.
But, I was going to say, what? I'm glad you said that because I was going to go fat chance
not
gonna, of that.
That might not happen. But having said that,
yeah, I know.
Having said that, you know, if he did and said, you know, you could help him. Look, I mean, Larry's leaving now. Larry Lucchino's leaving. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, Buddy's gone. You know, it's time to pass the baton and hope we stay in the lanes, okay?
Yeah.
That's the key. I mean, you don't want to stay in the lane. You want a smooth transition. And you want it to move seamlessly. And you want to be able to say, look back in those years, say, we built something that they did better. Okay, they took a foundation and they did it better. Now, if we could win this year, the only way they could do better would be winning again. You know, so, I mean, that would be perfect. But a little pressure. Hey, Mark, I only tell you what, you don't film this place. And, by the way, you just won the World Series. And so, by the way,
yeah,
good
welcome
luck.
Welcome to Toronto, and good luck.
Match that.
But I would cheer for
it because I always said, you know, we always talk about mission statements in sports. You know, and I always said, you know, they go come up with all these things or companies and everything. George Steinbrenner had the best one. Win World Series. Repeat.
Yeah,
you know, like, and that's what it was. It was very simple. That's what it's about, and that's what I think that, you know, we've tried to do here, you know, is to, you know, put ourselves in a position that we don't really care about, you know, the finances and all that stuff. What we care about is what's happening right now, which is winning.